This was several years ago. I was in Houston, Texas, about to speak at this event. And my phone rang. It was a number that was not in my phone, but the area code was Mississippi. So I answered it because that's where I was born and raised. So I pick up the phone, and it is my father's secretary. And they call me Sean, which is a derivative of my middle name. She said, Sean, and she rarely calls me. She says, Sean, I'm calling you because your father is too broke up to call you. Now, in my mind, I know my dad. I remember when I was 9, his sister got murdered by her husband, and I didn't see him shed a tear. I've seen this man accidentally shoot himself in the hand and not shed a tear. I've seen him with a broken finger and not shed a tear. So when she said to me, he's too broke up to call you, my heart sank. I said, what's wrong? She said, it's your mom. She was in the hospital for what they thought were migraines for days. But your dad demanded they do some more testing, and they discover it. She has cerebral hemorrhaging. She's bleeding on the brain. They have airlifted her from Grenada, Mississippi, to Jackson, Mississippi, to do immediate surgery. And she said these words to me. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget these words. She said, where are you? I said, I'm in Houston. She said, you need to get here. Can you imagine that ride to the airport? Can you imagine standing in line waiting to board a plane? Can you imagine the anxiety when the plane's on airplane mode, not knowing what text you're going to get when it lands? I land in Jackson, Mississippi. I go to the hospital there in Jackson. There's this young brother that walks out who says, I'm going to be taking care of your mother's surgery. It's going to be touch and go. But I want you to know I'm going to do the best I can. And for several or a few hours, this brother was in surgery. He comes back out of the room, stone-faced, emotionless, takes little hat off of his head, looks at me and my father, and says, she made it through. Says, that's the good news. He says, there's some other news that might be a little challenging, but she won't be the same after this. She made it through, but there has been some damage that's a bit extensive, specifically because she was bleeding so long before we detected it. She won't be the same. And as the days and weeks progress, we begin to get a clearer picture of what that looked like. And one of the ramifications of that was this. She couldn't work anymore. Now, my parents live in Kilmichael, Mississippi. Now the population is under 500 people. One police officer, no stoplights, no school even in the city anymore. Kids have to be bused to another school in a neighboring city. Not a metropolitan area with a lot of employment opportunities. My father was a bivocational pastor. He welded during the day and served the church in the evenings and on the weekends. Churches were not large enough to financially support a pastor. And so in my mind, now we got two problems. My mother's physical condition, and now my parents' economic condition, because she could no longer work. And I'm reflecting on this. I'm thinking about this. Honestly, I was stressing about this, and I'm wondering in my mind, how am I going to fix this? And this one word came to my mind. I had this epiphany. out of nowhere, and it seemed irrelevant. It seemed disconnected. But this one word literally gave me a revelation that caused a revolution in my whole life. And the word that came to my mind, I was like, how am I going to fix this? And this is the word that came to my mind: stewardship. Stewardship. What does that have to do with fixing this? What do you mean stewardship? Do I steward my mom? And nope, that wasn't. Another word came to me. No, you don't steward your mom. You steward your potential. Because stewardship for people of faith is not management. Stewardship for people of faith is multiplication. It means that I don't give you back what you gave me. I give you back more than what you gave me. Matter of fact, people of faith understand it from this rubric. If I give you back what you gave me, I'm called wicked and lazy. Yeah, but if I multiply what you gave me and give you back more than what you gave me, then I hear well done. Then I hear good and faithful servant. Then I get an invitation to elevation, because now that I've been faithful over a few things, I can be made ruler over many. So I'm like, okay, stewarding my potential. What does my potential have to do with this? It's like, no, you stewarding your potential is the answer to this economic issue. That you have, Darius, undiscovered, undeveloped, underutilized abilities that if you will lean into, they will not only bless God's house, they can bless yours. That I have given you gifts and talents that are to be used primarily for these purposes, but not exclusively for these purposes, because other people's families shouldn't be the only families benefiting from what I gave you. So if you will maximize and multiply what I gave you, then the impact that you're going to make is going to produce some income, and this income is going to be the answer to your economic issue. So I went crazy. Not crazy getting busier. I went crazy getting better. I went crazy getting better. Because I realize that if you get excellent, it's only so long before you get exposed. I realize that greatness can only be hidden for so long. I realize that there were some things I could market my way into, connive my way into. I just had to get so good that I couldn't be ignored. And I went crazy. I started speaking in the car. I started speaking in the shower. I started speaking walking around my house, because words are your weapons. I had a Bible and a dictionary next to me every single morning. I didn't get busy. I got better. And excellence always, to some degree or another, leads to explosion. I saw power of potential and how it can not only transform the lives that you've called to serve, it can also transform the lives of those who put you in a position to. My mama became my wife. I can't trust the government to take care of her. I got that. And this past Christmas, I was able to me, it's my, you know, besides my faith and my marriage, it's the greatest contribution that I've ever made. It's the thing I am most proud of in my entire life. This past Christmas, I gave them the gift of a debt-free life. They have no bills. House paid off, cars paid off, all my daddy's toys paid off. They have no bills. What I've realized is this, I expanded, that experience caused me to expand my understanding of purpose to cause me to see I wasn't just born for you, I was born for that too. When I was in my mother's womb, God had that in mind for me. He knew what would happen years down the line. So when my mom got pregnant, she got pregnant with an answer to her problem. That's what purpose is, guys. Purpose is an answer to a problem. Purpose is the reason for the creation or the existence of a thing. It's not creation. It's not existence. It's the reason for it, because something can be used in a way that's inconsistent with what it's been created for. I can use this phone as a weapon. It wasn't created for that. I can use it as a coaster. It wasn't created for that. So just because I'm being used doesn't mean I'm on assignment.